Acts chapter 27, those of you that are going to St. Lucia with us, as soon as the service is over, just meet me over in the prayer room, over in the Sunday school wing over there where we prayed at before service, where we normally pray at. Just meet me over there in the prayer room, and we just need to go over a few things directly after the service. I'll try and be as brief as I can, but I do want to give you the thought that I believe the Lord's put on my heart this evening. Acts 27, one of the greatest storm stories in the Bible. We've been dealing with the subject now for a bunch of different messages on surviving, or sweet things, excuse me, out of dark places. And we've almost reached the end of our study. Got one more after this. If the Lord be our helper, we'll preach it on Thursday night. And so I wish you'd come back to hear that, or at least tune in and watch that if you've been hanging with us through all 17 installments up to this point, 17. And we'll have one more after this. But Acts chapter 27, we find this dark storm story in the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times I've preached out of this text just over and over and over again. And I find, Brother Hunter, every time I come back to it, there's always something else that the Lord gives me out of this sweet little text about Paul in this storm. I'd like to begin reading, if we could, down in verse number 20, Acts chapter 27, and verse number 20 tonight. The Bible said, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Tonight I'd like to deal with surviving the storm in the dark place. We find several things about the text that I'll just throw out real quick. It won't take time to elaborate, but we see there is the voyage into this dark place. The voyage into the dark place. Paul gets on this boat. He's got a destination. There's a place where they're headed to, but they sail right off into, and by the way, the Lord knew it was coming. It didn't catch God by surprise. And they sail right off into a dark storm tonight. And I'd just like to remind you, though you know this, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded, that on our voyage from here to yonder, on our voyage from here to the sunny banks of God's sweet deliverance, there will be stormy, dark places on our way. You know about these stormy, dark places. Some stormy, dark places are sovereignly designed. Some of them are designed by God. God, you say, "Preacher, God would never allow or design a dark place to come into my life." Well, you've got to agree with me with the 16 prior installments that that's just not true. God uses them dark places. Our text for our series is Isaiah 45:3, where God said, "I'll give you the treasures of darkness and hidden things from secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." God does allow us to sail right headlong into dark, stormy places. We find there's not only sovereignly designed storms, but there are satanically designed storms. I believe we can all say and believe tonight that the devil does design storms to try and ruin us tonight. Paul said this in one place. He said, "We would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered us." He puts some dark, stormy places in our life, but I have found over and over, Brother Kent, that what the devil means for evil, God means it unto my good tonight. There's not only sovereignly divine storms on this voyage and satanically designed storms on this voyage, but some are self-made storms on this voyage. I mean, y'all can say some of the storms you wound up in, it wasn't God's fault and it wasn't the devil's fault. It's just your fault because you were stupid. I'm just going to be honest. There's some storms I wound up in the middle of, and the reason I got there, Brother Hyde, is because I was just plain old dumb. Yeah, and so I couldn't point the finger at, you know, nobody over here. It wasn't my brother, it wasn't my sister, it wasn't God's fault, it wasn't even the devil's fault. It was just my fault because I wouldn't listen. and wound up in some storm. We find the voyage into the dark storm. But then we find the viciousness of this dark storm. Look how vicious this storm is. I mean, its very name. The Bible says that the name of this vicious storm down in verse number 14, it called this tempestuous wind that began to blow and to swirl. It called it Eurocladon. That sounds vicious. You know, you may go through, you know, they got all them hurricane seasons, and normally, you know, they're named Nancy or, you know, or whatever. Have y'all ever noticed most of them storms that tear everything up, they name them after women? Anyways, that's neither here nor there. They named most of them storms women, Brother Andy. I don't know why, but it was this. But most of them storms got kind of harmless sounding names. But I promise you, you ever pull up Dan Rather or Jim Cantore on the Weather Channel and they say, your Eurocladon's headed your way, brother, you better get out of town. It's going to be nasty. I mean, that just sounds ominous. And watch how long this storm goes on for. Watch how vicious this storm is. Look down in verse 27. Watch verse number 27 with me. The Bible said, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria. Here in the text, the Bible said this storm has lasted now for 14 days straight without the sun, the moon, or the stars appearing. Y'all listen to me. 2 weeks is not that long of a time when you at Disney World. 2 weeks ain't that long of a time when you on vacation in the tropics somewhere. But mark this down, 2 weeks is an eternity when you in a dark storm of life. Have you ever noticed how fast your week off goes from work? Ever what vacation week, whatever you got from work? Man, it seems like you get off and then you turn around like, man, this thing was over with just like that. But have you ever noticed how long things drag on when you're at the hospital? How long time seems to drag on when you're burdened and when you're hurting and when your family's going through turmoil? That same amount of time that seems like it goes like that when you're enjoying life seems to absolutely come to a grinding and a screeching and halt when everything is going wrong in your life. And here for 14 days they have been tossed up, and 14 days they've been tossed down, and 14 days they have been for two straight weeks in the midst of a storm, fasting, asking God to get them out. It has been a vicious, vicious storm. But this is the message tonight. This is what I want you to see. There's not just the voyage into the storm, the viciousness of this dark place storm, but I want you tonight to notice the voice in the dark storm. The voice in the dark storm. Paul, God gives him a voice in this dark place. I will say this, at the beginning, nobody listens to his voice. Nobody wants to hear what he's got to say. Now watch this. You missed this. You missed the whole message tonight. Watch what your Bible said in verse 9. Verse 9 of your text. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Watch verse 10. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lady and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, in spite of this good advice, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things spoken by Paul. I mean, Paul gives this good advice, said, man, it's going to get rough up ahead. They say, oh, what do you know? You're just a preacher. It don't matter what you say. We don't care what you say. We're going to do what we want to do anyways. You know, like most people do now when the preacher gives them advice, and when the preacher tries to tell them, hey, you better watch out, listen to the Bible, better not go that direction. Oh, what do you know? It's my life. I can do with it what I want to. Okay, I'm just giving you some advice. I perceive the way you headed is going to wind you up in a shipwreck somewhere and a major storm in your life. Nobody wanted to listen to him. But I want y'all to notice how the script flips and how things change with this voice in the storm all the way down in verse number 31. Watch how it has changed now after 14 days in the storm. Verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Verse 32, they ain't disregarding what he's got to say now. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And then we find Paul starts admonishing them in the next few verses that they need to eat something. And the Bible says in verse number 36, then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Do y'all see what's happening here? At the beginning of the story, nobody wants to listen. Listen now. Nobody wants to listen to what Paul's got to say. By the end of the story, Paul is the de facto captain of the ship. At the beginning of the story, Brother Charlie, they say, we don't care what you got to say. But by the end of the story, they're saying, what you got to say, boss? We're listening. Yeah. And tonight, I'd like to preach. There's four times in Acts 27 where Paul speaks, four times where Paul starts talking. And there is something in the voice of Paul that in the dark place of a storm, he gains people's trust. Now, y'all listen to me. We live in a day of dark, stormy waters. You say, what's this world need? They need some voices they can trust. We live in a world that's got all kind of voices, mama. Hey, mama, do you realize when your kids walk out in that world, they're hearing voices that are 180 degrees different than what you're telling your children? Do you realize, daddy, when your youngins and your boys go out into this world, they're going to hear voices from people out there on their job or at school or from even some of their family that's going to be 180 degrees different than what you tell them? Do you realize we're living in a world that everything we preach here and everything we believe here and everything we espouse here, when you turn on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and watch the world and the TV, it is totally backwards from the things of God. There's voices everywhere. You say, what does this world need? What does our children need? What does our church need? We need some voices that can be trusted. We need some voices that can be consistent. Some voices that can be faithful. Some voices that when they speak, somebody says, I believe what that person's saying. I believe I can trust what that lady says. I believe I can trust what that fella says because they walk with God. They've got a word from the Lord. They're faithful in their walk with God, and I believe they've got the mind of God. I want to be a voice that people can trust in dark places. What about you? I see there's four reasons why they trusted what Paul had to say. Can I throw them out? There's four times Paul speaks. We'll look at all four of them real quick and we'll be done. I would say this, every parent in the building, if you don't never listen to any other message, every parent in the building, you need the message that I'm preaching tonight. We all want to be able to raise children that will listen to us. We all want to be able to raise children that doesn't just listen with their ears, but they heed with their heart and they're taking in what's being said. Mom and daddy, you need to become a voice in that person's life that they can trust what you say. That you're not a liar, that you're not flighty here today and gone tomorrow, but they have seen a consistent walk with God and a consistent faithful testimony, a consistent witness in your life that when you say something, they say, I believe what they say. How do we find what Paul had here? We're going to look at these four things real quick. What kind of voice did Paul have? Number one, it was a voice of reason. It was a voice of reason. Watch what your Bible said back in verse number 10. The Bible said Paul had admonished them. He's instructing them. And watch verse number 10. It's like a father admonishing a child. Watch verse number 10. Watch the reason. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt or with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Listen to me. Paul didn't say this. Paul didn't step up, Brother Bill, and say, don't go because I said so. Well, how come we can't go that way, Paul? Because I'm just telling you, I said so. Now, I believe there are times when your children ought to do something just because you did say so. They ought to have enough trust in you. But y'all listen to me. We're living in a day where this world's going to give your youngins reason. Do you realize they got plenty of reason out there for why they ought to walk away from the church and why they ought to walk away from the Bible and why they ought to believe in evolution and things like that? And you know what they need? They need a mama or a daddy that doesn't just say all the time, just because I said so, but you can sit down and tell them why you believe what you believe. Paul said, I'm telling you, I believe what's coming. I can tell you we're going to have hurt and damage, and I want to show you what I'm talking about tonight. You listen to me. It's more than just telling people I believe something. It's telling people why I believe what I believe. You know, Peter said this. Peter said, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Hey, y'all, we all believe. I like that line in the song about being a King James church. We shout and we believe that. But listen to me. We don't just hold this old black back book up and say, oh, we're King James and don't know why we are. Look here, brother. I'll tell you why a lot of people have ended up forsaking this book and going to something else, because they sat under somebody that just said, we're King James and don't ask me why. And they never gave them a reason why we believe what we believe. We're living in a day, brother, you better tell your children why we believe in a dress standard, why we believe in teaching our girls to be modest and not show their body off to a lost and dying world of a bunch of hormone-crazed young men, why we believe in preaching, why we believe in the church, why we believe even listening to the right music, because it affects our soul and it affects our minds. They need to hear some reason every once in a while, because one of these days they're going to step out from your house and walk out into this dark world, and they're going to need more than just, well, this is the way mom and daddy did it, this is the way the church did it. No, sir. They need to be able to say, because the Bible said, let me show you what the Word of God says on it. I'm talking about being a voice of reason in people's life tonight. We're losing a generation, or we've lost a lot of a generation, because all they had is they believed what mom and daddy said to believe instead of understanding why. I want to be a voice of reason. You know why we have Men's Bible Institute? I'm glad the elder men come. I appreciate that. The adult men, I do. I thank God for every one of you. But you know the real reason why I started? For all these young fellas, so they know what we believe, why we believe it, and they can go tell it to someone else. The reason I do Sunday school and have been adamant about doing it for the last 6 years that I've been here every Sunday morning, and I teach it myself, because I want you to know why you believe what you believe this morning, this evening. Here we see he was a voice of reason. Not only was he a voice of reason, he's a voice that could be trusted because he's a voice of reason. Let me say secondly, he's a voice of reassurance. He's a voice of reassurance. Watch your Bible. Watch verse 20. I love this. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. I mean, brother, it looks bad. The Bible said in verse 20, all hope is taken away. But listen to me, Brother Travis, we don't ever find Paul on the deck of this ship when all hope is gone. We don't see Paul running around saying, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. Boy, I'm scared to death. I mean, nobody would have had no confidence in what he's got to say if one minute he'd have said, I believe God, but the minute before that he was saying, oh, what's the use? God's forsaken me. We might as well just quit preaching Luke. We might as well just throw our Bible in. We might as well just give up. What's it? Nobody would have had any confidence in what he's got to say. Let me take a time out real quick and say this before I read my next verse about this voice of reassurance. You want to know why some people, nobody follows them and nobody's got confidence in them? Because they've watched their Christian life do this. In and out, up and down, in and out. One minute hot, one minute cold, one minute serving, one minute out, one minute living for God, the next minute living for the world. I'm telling you, nobody has any confidence in a voice like that. I'll tell you what people's got confidence in. When they watch somebody that they're going through the same storm you're going through. They're in the same boat you're in. They're going through the same stuff you're going through. But yet while they're scared and while they're wondering what's going to go on,
on, you step up and say, I still believe God. It ain't shook my faith in the book. It ain't shook my faith in the Lord. It ain't shook my walk with God. And I'm going to walk with God whether the whole blessed fired ship comes apart. If the whole thing comes apart, I'm going to live for God today just like I did yesterday. The day ain't going to get too dark. The storm ain't going to get too rough. I'm going to walk with God and live for Jesus regardless of what comes tonight. Watch Paul, right in the middle of no hope, right in the middle of no hope, right in the middle of everybody losing their minds. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, that's Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, voice of reassurance, be of good cheer. Why? For I believe God. Hey, you need to have such strong faith. You need to have such strong faith that even though the people in your life, your children, your family, even though they don't believe God like you, they believe your faith in God. I mean, they got such a trust in your voice that when their life hits the skids, they call you to pray for them. I can't tell you how many people have called me or been to hospital rooms or places, and Brother Cliff, they had no confidence in their own spirituality whatsoever. They didn't even believe, they didn't necessarily pray for themselves. They'd say, preacher, will you pray for me? I'm telling you, hey, sir, hey, ma'am, having such a voice people can trust that is so reassuring that they say, I've watched that man's life, I've watched that lady's life, I've watched that young person's life. They're not up and down, they're not flighty. I'm telling you, they believe God in the midst of the storm. Y'all, the Bible said in verse 20, this is a picture of the world we live in. The Bible said they're in this dark place and all hope's taken away. And it says this, Brother Jacob, all hope that we should be saved. Can I tell y'all something? We live in a world that they ain't got no hope they can even be saved. We live in a world they got no hope. They get up to go to work. They get up to live for the weekend. They live for a bottle. They live for a party. They live for a pill. They live for a drug. And they don't have any hope whatsoever, Brother Kevin Stewart. You know what this world needs? They need a group like at Bible Missionary Baptist Church that we've got the answer. This crap, hey, Congress ain't got the answer. Trump ain't got the answer. Biden ain't got the answer. But this crowd sitting here tonight, we've got the answer of reassurance. We've got the good cheer that this world needs. We've got the hope that this world needs. And we need to be a voice that people can trust with the Word of God tonight. It's a voice of reason. It's a voice of reassurance tonight. In a world full of wickedness, in a world full of ungodliness, in a world full of discouragement and depression, I want to be a voice that reassures people. Y'all, I mean, everybody in here should seek this. Every man, every man, woman, and young person. But I'm just speaking for me as the pastor and the preacher at Bible Missionary Baptist Church. Listen to me. When people come in here, Brother John Glenn, I don't want them to walk in with no hope and then walk back out the same way. I don't want folk to walk in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Thursday night and feel like they're at the bottom of their rope only to find a preacher in the pulpit that's just as down in the mouth, just as depressed and discouraged, just as low as they are. No, I want them to walk in low, but hear a word of reassurance from some... Pulse. That Bible said, Brother Mark, that old Paul had long abstinence. What's he doing? He's getting along with God, Brother Trey. He done found him a place of quiet. He got away from everybody else. He said, Lord, I've listened to enough of this worry. I'm turning off the news. God, I got to get away from all these negative Nancys. I got to get away from everybody and all these voices. I need to hear from heaven. What does this world need? They need somebody that's been alone with God. I can all... The Bible said, old Paul said, the angel of God stood by me this night. Can you imagine that? Maybe Paul done got down in the belly of this boat, long abstinence. He got away from everybody. No, Paul's down there, and son, he's praying, he's begging God. Oh, God, you said, Lord, that you was taking me to Rome. Oh, God, give me a word so that I can give some cheer to these people that you put on board this boat and you've allowed to come in contact with my life. And about that time, old Paul, he down there praying. About that time, he feels somebody lay a hand on him. And old Paul peeks up. And son, the belly of that boat's just as bright as the noonday sun, like it was the day he got born again on Damascus Road. And he peeks up and he knows who it is. He's seen him before. And the Lord says, don't you fear. Hey, and I like this too. I think what maybe gave Paul comfort, y'all, the Bible said they were tossed up and down. Paul's sitting there trying to pray, and he's being tossed this way and leaning over that way, and he's trying to pray, and all of a sudden he looks up, and when he sees the Lord, I believe this is what, the Lord ain't doing this. Fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul. No, the boat is moving and rocking, but the Lord ain't moving and rocking. That boat's moving and rocking everywhere, but the Lord's just standing in place, and he's saying, Paul, I got this. I got you, and I got it. And I want you to go back and give them a word of reassurance, Paul, that I'm still in control. I ain't lost the reins of this ship. I ain't lost the direction of this ship. You may be tossed, you may be driven around, but you ain't off the GPS, the grace positioning system. I know where you are, and I know what's going on. You say, what's this world need? What's our children need? They need to see a mom and daddy. I'll tell you one thing, Brother Roger, to put such confidence in my life when I was just a young fella. I mean, the size of Tatum and Turner. I was a little fella, just the size of these boys. And I'll never forget back in the 80s, mom and daddy going through financial struggles, and daddy worked for himself, and mama raised us at the house. And I remember them days of, it was tough, and watching mom and daddy pray and cry. But I never one time, Brother Mikey, did they not take us to the house of God. They didn't say, well, you know, it's just too tough, it's just too much, God ain't been good to us. No, sir. I'd watch daddy teach Sunday school. I'd watch mama pray and cry and shout in the choir and sing. I'd watch him be faithful and serve the Lord. And I watched, there was something real about that. Brother Randall Beaver, there was something real about that in my life. And I said, man, I know what they're going through. And I see the burden that they're going through. But they just keep being faithful. You say, what was that? That was a voice of reassurance in my life. That if God can take mama through it, and God can take daddy through it, and they keep serving God, then God can take me through it too. Amen. I want to be a voice of reason. I want to be a voice of reassurance. Can I say this thirdly, quickly? I want to be a voice of restraint. It was a voice of restraint. Watch your book. Watch what your text said. Verse number 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, they're about to abandon ship and leave everybody, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Your King James Bible, that's where we get all our common everyday sayings from. That common everyday saying of, they show you their true colors. That's what it's talking about right here. They were faking. They were saying, we're going to come down here and get in the water in the little dinghy boats and try and let some anchors down, and we're going to get back in. But they weren't doing it. They was lying. They was fixing to try and flee the ship and save themselves. Now watch your text. Watch your text. Verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, it's a voice of restraint, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. It was a voice of restraint from them making a serious error in their life. If Paul doesn't say anything, they're dead meat, Brother Danny. And listen to me, if Paul says something and they don't listen to him, they're still dead meat. And so here is Paul giving a word of restraint, and they say, we've heard enough reason and we've seen enough reassurance. We believe we'll just stay with the ship. Listen to me, mom and daddy. Your kids don't always need a buddy There'll be a time for that down the road. There'll be a time when they're older that you can be their friend. But you hear me, when they're teenagers and down, what they need more than a buddy and a friend is every once in a while they need a voice of restraint in their life. I'm blown away. I'm blown away, Brother Jack, by parents today that literally say things like, well, I'm letting my child make decisions on spiritual issues and serious issues of life. No! You don't apply that to every other thing. Yeah. At 14 years old, when your child come to you and said, give me the keys, I want to go drive. Absolutely not. Why? Let them make their own decisions. No, we realize they're not capable of making that decision at that time. Absolutely not. But yet you're going to let them make such life-changing decisions at 13, 14, 15 years old as who they're going to date. When you look at this girl's life or you look at this boy's life and you see they are reprobate rank heathens, you see that their post on social media is wicked and ungodly and they have no desire for the Lord, and instead of you saying, absolutely not, we're cutting that off. Amen. Oh, no, let them make, no, they're not mature enough to make that decision. When they say, well, I want to watch a certain movie, I want to go hang out with a certain crowd, I want to wear certain clothes. No, you're not old enough to. And you say, what is that? That's a voice of restraint. Now, y'all listen to me. At this age of life, by the time they've reached teenage years, you ought to have already cultivated some reassurance in their life where they may not understand why you say cut it off. I imagine these fellas in the text, when Paul said cut it off, they said, well, I don't understand that, but we've seen enough reassurance and we've seen enough reason that I'm going to believe you. And mark this down, Brother Garrett, when they wound up on the dry land later, they shook Paul's hand and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for telling us not to get in that boat. Had we got in that boat, we'd be dead men. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your voice of restraint. Y'all listen to me. I know it's not always easy. I got four teenagers. They're all sitting in here tonight. I ain't preaching something I don't know. It ain't always easy to say no when you want to be the good guy and say yes. But I realize there are some things that if I let my children get in and I let my children get involved in, they're going to wind up shipwrecked. They're going to wind up messed up. This world and the dark storm is going to gobble them up. So instead I cut it off. I say no with the hope that one day they'll come back to me, hug my neck, and say thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mama, I appreciate the voice of restraint tonight. You young people that are constantly bucking against mom and daddy, restraining things that you want to do, instead of bucking against mom and daddy's restraint, you ought to thank God you've got a mom and daddy that cares enough about you that they don't just want you to do whatever you want to do. There's a lot of youngins in this country and in churches. Their mom and daddy don't give a flip about them. Let them stay out late as they want with whoever they want to be with, doing whatever they want to do, wind up messed up from the floor up. You ought to thank God, young people, that you got a mom and daddy that says no to some things, not because they're trying to hurt you, but because they know there's some hurt out there, and they've been there, and they know what it's like. So they're trying to keep you from the hurt tonight. Voice of restraint. Hey, I realize sometimes people listen to my preaching, listen to this stuff, and they think, you know, I'm railing on something. Yeah, part of my job is to be a warning. Part of my job is to look at you and say, hey, don't, you know what my job is, Brother Mike Hyatt, to say, don't get out the ship. Don't get out the ship. Don't get out the ship. Hey, there's enough of us in here that can say we've been out there and see what's out there. Brother, there's a lot of messed up stuff, but there's safety in the ship. The Spirit's in the ship. There's preaching in the ship. There's fellowship in the ship. Don't get out the boat. Don't get out the boat. There's safety in the boat. Cut off the life raft. Let it sail off. Keep your family in the ship tonight. Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. I ain't talking about saved from hell. I'm talking about keeping your life safe. I want y'all to notice this. The Bible said they were letting down these boats under color, making them think one thing when they meant the other. Y'all listen to me. I've watched enough of this go down in 39 years of being around church. You find out people's true colors when they get out of the ship. Brother Keith, you find out people's true colors when they shout amen to a song like you heard right there. Then all of a sudden they get out of the ship and you see they yoked up with a group that don't even believe none of that. Then they yoked up with some lost group out there and social drinking and living like the world. And I'm like, oh, whoa, whoa. You didn't show that when you was in the ship. You had to get out of the ship to show them true colors. Stay with the ship, child of God. Mom and daddy, keep your youngins in the ship. There's safety in it tonight. Be the voice of restraint this evening. Be the voice of reason. Be the voice of reassurance. And lastly, we find he's a voice of relief. He's a voice of relief. Watch your text. I love this. Right after Paul, we're going to start here in verse 33, so go ahead and get your eyes right there. But right after, Brother Zach, Paul takes away their life rafts and they cut them off. Right after he cuts something off, I love the Bible. I love this. Right after Paul cuts something off from their life, he then puts something in their life. I want y'all to understand something. God ain't in the business of just taking stuff from you. God's a giver of things, Brother Cody Eagle. And I've never had God cut anything out of my life that he didn't add something into my life. There's a reason why we do things like we do. There's a method to the madness at Bible Missionary Baptist Church. We're not as harum scarum as you may think we are. There's a reason why they're fixing to have a teen formal in February. You say, what's the point of doing stuff like that? What's the point of doing later in the year, doing that junior senior thing that y'all do later in the year and all that? Here's the reason. Because that world out there puts on the prom. And that world out there is going to play the bump and the grind, the most ungodliest music you ever heard in your life. And they're going to try and get your daughters to dress up in a dress that ain't fit for a street-walking harlot. Hey! I said it ain't fit for a street-walking harlot! By God, I'm telling you, pictures at prom time make you blush by what 15, 16-year-old girls are wearing of this stuff. You're nuts if you think I'm going to prostitute my daughter in some little old slinky outfit and parade her around in front of a bunch of hormone-crazed boys on a dance floor. You've lost your mind. God bless you. Have a nice night. Lost your mind. So what are y'all doing? Why y'all do that stuff? We do that as an alternative. So my girls don't have to get half naked and go dancing with some boy on a dance floor. Instead, my children that I'm trying to keep from that junk, we can take that away and say, that's not going to help you, it's going to hurt you. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you two Hummer limousines at the church with God's people.
Amen.
And we'll take you out to a nice restaurant and come back to the church and enjoy good, clean Christian fellowship. And you ain't got to be like the world to have a good time and enjoy the things of God. Yeah, yeah. That we cut something off, but we're going to give them something. Watch them give them something. Y'all got a book right there? Let me borrow your book. Watch your book. It'll take me too long to go back up here. Watch verse number. They cut it off. Verse 32, they let her fall off. Verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. We were in all in the ship 216 souls, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. You see what he does? He says, all right, let's cut that off. But here, let's give you something. It's a voice of relief. I want every mom and daddy to understand something. Please, please, please catch this. I don't know why I didn't mean when I was preparing this to turn it so heavily towards the family, but here it is. This is where we're at tonight. I want you to understand something. I have literally watched parents in the independent Baptist churches. Please, please get this now. We're going to close. I've literally watched parents destroy their children because all they did was be a voice of restraint. All they did, you can't have that, and you can't do that, and that's wicked, and that's ungodly, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and we don't do this, and we don't do that, and there's a lot of that stuff you ain't supposed to do. But listen to me, mom and daddy. If you don't put something back in its place, you are going to teach these children that serving God is the biggest drag in the world. You're going to teach these children that they cannot enjoy nothing. You go, look, hey, y'all, I believe in living as clean as anybody in the building. There ain't nothing wrong with taking your kids and going to the theme park. I didn't say you had to go get naked and be in the water park like everybody else. I said you could go to the theme park and ride a roller coaster. Hey, I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with taking your kids, go to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Outer Banks. Go enjoy it. God giveth us all things richly to enjoy. You've got to put something in its place. Be the voice of relief. Be the voice that says, no, we're not doing that, but we're going to do this. You can't just constantly be taking stuff from these youngins. You've got to give them something to show them serving Jesus is a blast. You say, how come you didn't grow up? How come you grew up in independent, hardcore, independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Bible, even walk right, talk right, don't cut, drink, chew, run them to do, ha, Baptist. I mean, I run with the whole crowd. How come you didn't turn into just some bitter cynic and wind up out yonder with the recovering fundamentalists and all them and just hate all this? Here's why I didn't. Because I had a mama and a daddy. They taught me that there was things we needed to stay away from. But I had a mom and daddy that realized, I don't want to lose my children either. So we had the Autumn Hall River about 20 minutes from our house, and daddy bought him an old boat. On Friday evenings, daddy get off work, he'd get us, and we'd go to the river every once in a while on a Friday and a Saturday. We'd be in church on Sunday. I learned to wakeboard. Some of y'all, I found this out, that so many people, their mind is blown by an independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Bible-believing pastor that flies airplanes upside down. That rides motocross. Yeah, that enjoys all this stuff. You say, where'd you get all that from? Because I had a mama and a daddy that didn't believe in just taking stuff, but they showed us we could enjoy life together. And we laughed, Brother Travis. And we enjoyed God, and we enjoyed life. And it showed me living for Jesus was the greatest life on the planet. Flew airplanes with Daddy. Say, he must have had a lot of money. No, little old junky airplanes, experimentals. I can't tell you how many times Daddy had engine outs and had to land in fields. I've been with him when it's happened. Greatest days of my life. Brother Trey, don't worry. If the engine goes out on the plane on the way over there, I've been in an engine out situation. I'll take control. I got you. I got you. I'm going to be the voice of reassurance for you, brother. You too, Brother Randy. Don't listen to Brother John. I got a feeling he's going to tell y'all it's all going to go wrong. I'm just saying, I had family that took something and give me something. And you notice what Paul gives them? I'm through. Esther, help me here. I'm done. You notice what Paul gives them? He gives them bread. Bread's a picture of the Word of God. Oh, Paul says, here's you something. Take this. Hey, child of God, you know what this world, what your family needs to hear? Is a voice that's got some relief. What's that? The Word of God. Nothing will put more trust in an individual than when they see that your life is lined up with the Bible the best that you can. Ain't none of us perfect. And you're trying to do what God's saying. I don't know about you, but in this dark walk of life, I want to be a voice that my family can trust. I do. Brother Dan, I'd hate to win the world to God and lose my children. Thank you.
What good would I really have done? Why don't we all seek tonight, Lord, help us be the voice that people can count on. That consistent voice in the dark storm that somebody can say, I believe God because they believe God. Let's stand tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sweet spirit of worship that we've experienced tonight. Lord, you sit around in this place for a good while. You used the choir. You used Miss Monica. You used Sister Lori and these girls. And we're supremely thankful for it. Now, Lord, I pray you'd take the word of God and you'd use that too to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.